Hello, I'm a Mac.
And I'm Free Pizza.
Okay, what are you doing in a pizza box?
I'm trying to catch college students. You're the number one notebook on college campuses. So when they come around looking for you, they'll see the free pizza, and then I'll get them.
Whatever happened to people just choosing their computer?
That's the problem. They're choosing you. They love Leopard, your built-in eyesight camera, the fact that you run Microsoft Office.
Okay, well, good luck.
Come eat me. I'm a delicious pizza.
Best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Darifon Elijah, and I have two excellent guests joining me today. The first is a man so masculine, you'd swear you saw him in a Village People music video. I'm speaking about Buster Heine. Welcome, Buster.
Hello.
Also joining is a man so classy, a powdered white wig as part of his regular attire. I'm, of course, speaking about the Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey, fun.
Welcome, sir. Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to the Cult Cast. So much great stuff to talk about this week. We're going to be covering some iOS 8 rumors, some iPhone 6 rumors. And, of course, we've got some other great news, iPad news. And we're going to be talking about ourselves again at the end of this segment in a piece we call Get to Know Your Cultist, where we take questions from our listeners, however good or great, and we talk about ourselves. That'll be at the end of the show, so make sure you catch that. Before we hop into everything else, I just want to say thanks to our sponsor, FreshBooks. Boy, howdy, do I love FreshBooks. And if you are a business owner, and it's tax time right now, I bet you would love it too. FreshBooks, of course, is the simple online accounting solution built for small business owners, just like you and me, who want to skip the headache of tax time. And for a limited time, you can try FreshBooks free for 60 days. Just head on over to getfreshbooks.com. And if you would, enter CultCast in the How Did You Hear About Us section to let them know that you heard about them through us. Thrilled to have them sponsoring. Before we start, guys, I thought we could do a couple of announcements. The first one being is a quick note about, if you want to hear more about how this show came into being and how I got into this show, I was on the MacCast recently with our pal Adam Christensen, and we talked about me for a whole hour. It was grand, actually. I'm not even joking. When Adam asked me to be on the show, he invited me on. It didn't really say anything about what we were going to talk about. And then right before we hit record, he was like, hey, so I was thinking we could just talk about you for an hour. And I laughed, thinking he was joking, but he wasn't.
It wasn't.
He wasn't at all.
That must have been fascinating.
Yeah, he had to twist my arm, believe me. I was like, you want me to talk about me? No. Okay, I'll do it. Hit record.
Okay,
are we going? So, but anyway, we got into a conversation about the show and how it came into being. So head on over to iTunes, search for MacCast, MacCast, to hear that. And I'm so excited. We're going to be doing our first ever CultCast Live event party. Get this. So we had a batch of tickets that we made available, and it sold out. By the way, the event is free, so sold, you know, taken out, however you want to phrase it. And so our pals at DigiDNA, who are sponsoring the event, said, hey, you know what? We have some extra tickets. We'll make those available so you guys can give those out. And then those are sold out. So our other sponsor, Mac Update, who's also sponsoring the events, said, okay, guys, we have some tickets left that we haven't given away. We'll make those available. So if you're going to be in San Francisco on March 27th, 2014, we're going to be at the Box SF, and you can head on over to cultcast.eventbrite.com. We have a very limited amount of tickets left. This is going to be a really fun event. There's going to be a DJ. It's going to be an open bar, and we're just going to have a CultCast Live and talk about Macworld. So while we still have tickets left, cultcast.eventbrite.com. And I want to thank DigiDNA and Mac Update for sponsoring the event. They're making this all possible and allowing us to do this event for free. And so we want to thank them for that. Okay, your turn to talk, guys. So let's talk about Pono Player, Leander.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and I, we talked about this player last week, right? And when this news story came out, it was so brand new that we really didn't know any information at all. then you and I started researching this thing.
After, about it for an hour,
we trash talked this thing for like a good 20 minutes. So Pono Player is like an iPod that looks like a children's toy. It's like yellow and triangular. They have different colors. And it was launched by Neil Young. And I guess it's supposed to be a really high-quality digital music player. They're comparing it to vinyl. And it plays 24-bit, 192 kilohertz FLAC files, which are supposed to be super high resolution. And as I said, we kind of poked a lot of fun at it. Well, kind of isn't the right word. We poked a lot of fun last show. But then, Leander, we both watched the Kickstarter video, right?
Yeah, right.
And is it fair to say that we both kind of felt like maybe we actually don't hate this thing as much as we originally thought, and we actually kind of want one?
Yeah, I know. Well, that was an amazing video because he had all of his musician friends, you know, all these super famous musicians saying, oh, my God, that was the most amazing thing I'd ever heard. Uh-huh. And the accumulation of it was really convincing because, you know, you go, well, you know, these people, they live in studios, right? Listen to these amazing systems. Yeah. If they come out saying that this is so incredible, then maybe there's something to it. It was a really convincing video for sure.
It was the most convincing Kickstarter video I've ever seen. I mean, yeah. Hands down, I couldn't believe how good this video was. Buster, sorry, what did you say?
Oh, I just said it had like every rock star ever in it.
I mean, like every single person besides Bono was in that video, right?
Bono wasn't in it?
I don't think Bono was in it. Yeah.
I'm surprised because like Sting and Elton John and like people like that, Dave Matthews was even in it.
And it was legitimate. Yeah, even Dave Matthews was in the video. And it was good musicians too. It wasn't like they had, you know, these pop stars that come out with one album and you never hear from again. Right. It was like legitimate musicians who've had 30-year-long careers. And they were all ranting and raving about how great this thing was. So it kind of got me excited about it. And now I kind of think I want one.
Oh, my gosh. You're ridiculous. I don't believe it, personally.
Well, how much is it up to now? Because Buster, it was a couple of days later, it had already pissed past its goal, and it was up to 2.5 million, right?
Yeah, it's at 4.5 now.
Oh, my. And that's what, five or six times as much as they wanted to raise?
Okay, yeah. So they were trying to raise $800,000 on Kickstarter. So they're taking this thing to get developed. And I guess they already have the prototypes all done and everything. They just want to get it manufactured. And so in the first day, I think in the first 24 hours, they made $3 million.
Whoa.
So now, granted, I was looking at some of the prizes, and some of the prizes were like signed posters by Neil Young. You know, they weren't really.
Some people are probably buying it for memorabilia too.
Maybe, yeah, maybe. So, Leander, are you thinking you want one now too?
Well, I was definitely seduced by the video, but then I went and checked. There was a post that I sent to Buster, this guy that says he's a scientist, and you know, he was saying that the science behind this is a little bit dodgy because, you know, AAC files are about as high fidelity as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
A 256 kilobit AAC file, I think, you know, reproduces, I think it said 98% of the sound that you can capture, you know, in the studio. And so there's almost no way to improve on that. And it has a lot to do with, you know, the speakers, I think, you know, and the kind of sound that they can reproduce. If as long as, you know, it shouldn't make any difference whether it's a Pono file or an AAC file.
I've heard that, you know, argument too. Yeah.
Coming through the same system. And I don't know, you know, like from what I know about physics, which is almost nothing.
Well, that's more than me.
You know, I mean, you know, the range of human hearing from the low to the high, you know, I mean, if an AAC file and the system you're playing it on captures, you know, 98% of that, then I don't see how it can improve on it.
I mean, you're right. There's the whole science aspect, and I think I read the same piece that you're talking about where this guy was like, you know, there's no discernible difference. Here's the science.
Yeah.
But that's a murky line for me because science and art, you know, like maybe, you know, maybe you could hear a difference, maybe not. I think that, hold on. I want to read this. Our listener, we had a listener named Bob Prendergast, who Gast, who commented on our Facebook page after we talked about this. So thank you for your comment, Bob. And he said, I love the show, guys, especially Erfan. He's very sexy. And he's my favorite guy on the whole show. But then he goes, hold on, he goes on. He goes on to say, but you guys missed the point on Pono. High def audio is something that really has to be experienced to quote unquote get it. I started listening to 24-bit 192 FLAC files a while back, and there is a very real difference versus AAC or even CD. It needs dedicated hardware to experience it, hence Pono. So I don't know. I mean, you can argue science, but sometimes I think there's some things that science maybe can't capture.
Well, okay, if you know scientifically that, you know, the audio spectrum that Pono players playing doesn't have any like benefit to humans, then I don't know. Science, I think, wins on that one versus Neil Young and his superstar friends told you it's pretty music, so you should buy it.
That's enough science for me right there is Neil Young.
Pono had a great post on how basically the bit rate for CD is as good as it gets. It's like mathematically supposed to be perfect sound reproduction for human ears. They have a great post taking down the Pono player that somebody should check out.
I guess from my understanding, the point of Pono is that the files that you're allowed to listen to have frequencies that you couldn't get unless you had like 192 kilohertz files and 24-bit audio. So again, it's going to have to be one of those things where you hear it to experience it and make up your mind for yourself. But I know from that Kickstarter video, every single person who went on a ride in Neil Young and that big old hoopty he was driving around, he would plug in his Pono player and they would all come out half aroused and like they had just had a religious experience. Yeah. Like one musician after another went into that car with him and came out and they were all really enthusiastic. And I just don't know how you could, you know, exaggerate that. Like, how would you make these guys look more excited than they actually were? So in any case, if you're interested in checking out more about Pono, I think you can go to like, actually probably just go to Kickstarter and search Pono player and you can find out more stuff about it there. Let's talk about some iOS 8 rumors, shall we, fellows? Mm-hmm. We're getting close to September, and rumor is that we're going to have a new iPhone and a new iOS around that time. And I know 9to5 Mac had some information on some updates to iOS 8 that I thought we could talk about. Nothing too major here, but definitely stuff that's interesting. So we just talked about this, I believe, on our last show about when we were talking about Notification Center Buster, how Alex said that he really hated that it had a today view, an all view, and a missed view.
Yeah, like was the that last third show? Yeah, like the third missed pane is kind of pointless.
Exactly. Well, Apple might think so too, because apparently they're considering getting rid of that in iOS 8. So you'll just have a today view and a notifications view, which makes way more sense to me. Here, this could be a big one. So apparently Apple is said to be working and testing functionality that would allow the apps in the App Store, and I'm assuming on your phone, to actually speak to each other in the background, which is something that they can't currently do. And so apps would be able to talk to each other and have some type of functionality that's built in between the two systems or the two apps.
Yeah, so like your photo editing app, it could automatically send like the picture that you edited right into Instagram, like having to save it to like your camera roll and then importing it and all that.
Awesome. That'd be great.
That would be great, right? Kind of seems like really useful.
Yeah, totally.
Voice memos. I'm not even going to read this one. Does anyone care about voice memos? Do you guys even use voice memos?
That reminds me of like that one like walkie-talkie app that was popular like a couple years ago, you know?
I don't remember what app you're talking about.
Oh, you never tried that one?
No.
I can't remember what it was called. It wasn't WhatsApp, but
well, apparently it really impressed you. Okay, so voice memos are going to have some controls, move around. Here, this one might be useful. Messages, they're considering giving you the ability to auto-delete threads in messages. So after like a month or a year, they automatically delete the threads. That could be useful because you may not know this, but the threads just sit there on your phone forever. And they keep growing.
Take up like a gig now.
Yours take up a gig? I think mine's like 3 or 4 gigs.
Yeah, my iMessages file, man.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of people don't know how to delete those. And they get backed up with your phone. So your backup keeps getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And I was wondering why my iCloud kept getting the available storage space kept getting smaller because I don't ever really add anything to my phone and I don't back up most app data. So that was always confusing. Game Center, the app, might be gone after the next iOS update, and it could just be integrated into the apps that actually use that. Do either of you guys use Game Center?
See, the app, no. And that's the, I don't think it needs to be a standalone app either.
You think, like, it could just be built into...
Yeah, to link everything together.
Gotcha.
Because, I mean, I do like having, like, the scoreboard to compare, like, with your friends how sucky they are at Flappy Bird, you know, but...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not... you're not talking about me, right?
Of course not. But, like, yeah. The Game Center app is just weird with the bubbles and everything, and nobody uses it, right?
I don't use it either, yeah. I don't even really know... I guess you use it to peruse your friend's scores. You probably just said that, right, Buster?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, if it's available in the game app, you wouldn't need it. And then CarPlay. So here, this could be a cool thing. Apparently in iOS 8, well, reportedly, we might get the ability to use the CarPlay features wirelessly. So you wouldn't have to have your phone plugged in at all. I really hope they do this. I don't know why they didn't just do this from the get-go. I mean... Some people argued on Twitter when I was having this conversation that they want you to be able to charge your phone at the same time. Great, you know, but do you have to have it plugged in? It seems like in 2014, you should be able to just, you know, use those features wirelessly. Of course, I'm not going to have a new car anytime soon.
Yeah, right. So it's all very academic.
You didn't let me finish, Leander, because my Ferrari's on back order and it's not going to be here for at least 3 months. So, I mean, Hopefully they'll have us fixed in the next 3 months. What were you saying?
Well, there was also some talk about how they're not going to bring this AirPlay to aftermarket head units, you know, So you can't retrofit it on your car.
Yeah.
And it was all a little bit vague, wasn't it? Like, you know, there were certain technical problems. I was like, well, like what? But... You know, no one really specified what exactly those technical problems were.
I would love to see this in aftermarket, you know, third-party products. I think that's really how Apple's going to get a hold on the market, right? Because how else are they going to do it? Do you have to buy a new Chevy to get this?
Yeah, you know, I will bet that the car manufacturers are putting up resistance to this because, you know, it's another incentive for somebody to buy a new car.
Well, that's a great point.
Pioneer said that they're working on making some CarPlay accessories.
I wonder what that means.
I don't know. I mean, they said most of them are talking
like... a beanie bag, right, where you can put your phone.
I was just thinking that. A beanie bag to put your phone on while you use CarPlay that's built in.
I think they said they were exploring, like, making, like, an in-dash CarPlay, the one that you can install yourself.
Yeah, well, you know, like that, you know, an aftermarket head unit, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Pioneer sells, you know, I think they're the leading manufacturer, right, of head units.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're definitely one of the biggest ones.
Everyone with an iPhone would want to, you know.
Oh yeah, even if you had just a slim touchscreen area on your dash, it would still be nice.
Oh, in a heartbeat, and they could charge a fortune for that. You know, $300-$400, I think.
Oh yeah,
I would pay $300 for that to add that to my old hoopty. For sure. Neil Young would have it in his car for sure.
Right.
He'd be rocking out to the free world with his Pono plugged into CarPlay. He'd have a big old dupe hanging out of his mouth.
Right. Pono plugged into
his Pono in one hand, joint in the other, steering wheel. Who knows what's holding on to that? All right. Well, hey, guys, before we move on, I do want to say thanks to FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode. You guys have probably heard me talk about FreshBooks before. I really love the service. It's, of course, the online accounting solution that helps you really easily send invoices to your clients, collect payments faster. It also helps you track your expenses so that at tax time, it's a lot easier to actually do your taxes. That's because, you know, you'll be using FreshBooks throughout the year. And you'll be keeping track of expenses in FreshBooks. You'll also be able to take pictures of your receipts and bill those to your clients if you're buying something that, you know, is for one of their projects. And then come tax time, you just give this stuff to your accountant and he's able to sort through it all really fast. So it saves you money in that regard because your accountant isn't going through a shoebox full of receipts. And then also it makes your life easier. It saves you a ton of time because you're not having to do any work. Like you kind of did your homework throughout the year and you're ready to do your taxes. And it will probably save you money on your taxes too, because, you know, it's hard to keep track of all the receipts and everything and all the expenses you have in your business. So what you do usually is you just end up, you know, not remembering that stuff, not giving it to your accountant, and then you end up paying taxes on stuff that you didn't need to pay taxes on. I had a friend recently, true story, just the other day, start using FreshBooks, and he's like, I've been listening to the CultCast, and I've heard you talk about FreshBooks 1,000 times, and I finally signed up for the service, and he could not stop ranting and raving about how much he liked it. He said, I'm getting paid faster now. Why didn't I start doing this months ago? It's so much easier to run my business now. And if you have a real business, if you have a high upscale business like the CultCast or like Cult the Mac, real professional, shiny and professional business, you got to run it like a pro. And that's why I use it. Leander, I know you use FreshBooks.
Absolutely, yeah.
Buster, you know, for all of his house calls that he does for his male dancing business, FreshBooks invoice immediately. Because they have a great app that you can use to send invoices right there. Boom, dance is over. I take credit card and cash. Who's got my money? And I get to write off tax deductions left and right from my gas on the trip over here. I mean, it's just great. Check out getfreshbooks.com. That's getfreshbooks.com in case I flubbed the URL. And try it out free for 60 days for a limited time. You can use the entire application for free. And, you know, if you like it, sign up and you can continue running your business like a pro. And when you are signing up, make sure you put CultCast in the how did you hear about us section so they know that they need to keep throwing piles and piles of cash our way to promote their product. But, you know, it's great having sponsors that have great products that you actually use, because you just get to talk about things that you like. And that's how we like to do it on the CultCast. So we want to thank them for sponsoring the show. Let's see here, guys. Shall we move on to iPhone 6 rumors? And I use I use that term loosely. So can we talk about Sonny Dickinson for a minute?
Yeah, rumors, you know.
Rumors. In quotes, right? Yeah, it's R-O-O-M-E-R-S. It's like kind of a derivative of the word. So Sonny Dickinson, and you guys feel free to pipe in here at any point. He's a kid in Australia, right?
Right.
And I don't think he's very old. He's probably like 19 or 20. Mm-hmm. And he's somehow getting his hands on prototypes of different Apple products. And he's had in the past reported accurately on some of these products, right?
Yeah. You know, he's getting information about from the supply chain about the, you know, iPhone, about, you know, new iPhones and iPads. And so he had a really good run last year, right? So he was leaking a lot of details about the parts. And so he was able to figure out the specs of the iPhone 5S. Mm-hmm. And I think also, you know, the iPad Air. Is that right? And he might have actually gone longer than that.
Yeah, he had some hardware leaks and a lot of hardware leaks too.
Okay. Right. So he had the specs and a lot of you know, the components as well.
Mm. So
yeah, he has friends in China, you know, and he calls them sources in China. Mm-hmm. And gives the impression that, you know, he's got friends in the supply chain who are giving him these leaks. But, you know, there's been some debate about where he's getting it from, and a lot of people think that he's picking it up from, you know, Weibo and the other Chinese
like
forums.
That you can buy stuff off of
Alibaba. He's going on Alibaba and buying an iPhone 6. He bought like 1,000 of them for like $100. Well, he's been at it again, and he was on Twitter rather cryptically just dropping these weird tweets about, I'm going to say, quote-unquote, iPhone facts, but I say that as they're not really facts. We don't know if they're true or not. And then he would hashtag just saying. So very strangely, so he would say something along the lines of, iPhone 6 will be 0.2 inches thick, hashtag just saying. So that means the next iPhone would be 5.59 millimeters thick. And I think the current one is 7.5. Is that right?
Yeah.
Buster, do you know if that's accurate? So way, way, way thinner than it currently is. I know we're talking about millimeters here, but, you know, when you're talking about millimeters, there's not a whole lot left to shave off the iPhone.
Like 4 or 5 millimeters would be like a huge or a tenth of a millimeter would be a huge.
Would be
thing,
huge.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. That would be. Everyone would be like, "Oh my gosh, a whole millimeter shaved off." So, and then he was also saying that the next iPhone is going to have a 389 pixel PPI, so pixels per inch. The current one, I think, is 326, so it's going to be much higher resolution. And he's saying that the next A8 processor, which will be used in the iPhone 6, will be 2.6 gigahertz. Isn't the current A7 chip, isn't it like 1.8 gigahertz? You guys may not know this.
I don't know.
Okay. But 2.6 is, from my understanding, drastically faster than what they're already using. So did he say anything about the screen size here? I don't recall if he said anything about the screen size. Although... Yes.
What's the A7's 1.4, so that would be a huge jump.
Huge jump. Yeah. Holy smokes.
Like it's a 64-bit. 2.8 gigahertz, that would be ginormous.
I mean, it'd have to have an exhaust pipe on it for all the freaking smoke that came out of there when you're using it. That's how fast it'd be. Exclusive. New iPhone has exhaust pipes. So anyway, those rumors are out there. I thought they were worth mentioning because I know people like to hear about iPhone rumors, as do I.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not so sure they're accurate. Last time, or a couple weeks ago, Sonny Dickinson posted a photo of a mock-up iPhone 6 that was definitely fake, but said it was real.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he's not always on it, so, and a lot of these just sound kind of sketchy to me.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if this wasn't real. But definitely worth putting out there. And I love talking about iPhone 6 rumors, as I mentioned, because, you know, we're getting close and I need a new phone. And I need one with at least an 8-inch screen and exhaust pipes on it.
What do you want? What are you using now? The 3GS or?
3GS. How did you know? Yeah. Edge is so much faster than my old iPhone 3, my original iPhone.
Yeah. Right.
I've got an iPhone 5.
Oh, okay.
But I just didn't really see any point in moving up to the 5S. So, the big thing that I want is a larger screen, you know.
Right. So yeah. And of course, there's no mention in Sony's tweets about the size of the screen.
Not that I saw. And even if there were, like Buster said, we're not really sure we can believe it. But good to kind of put that out there. But along the other another rumor for iPhone 6. Is that Pegatron and Foxconn are gearing up production. And that's no surprise considering, they probably, especially if they're going to increase the size of the screen, they're going to need a trillion of these things. And I think that's probably on the low side. They might need like 2 or 3 trillion.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It is going to be, if they increase the size of the screen, it's going to be a huge hit. Oh.
Yeah, they're talking about how all kinds of Android users would flock over to a huger screened iPhone.
Right.
Do you guys think that would actually happen? People that use Android would actually start to consider Apple phones again?
I think so. I mean, I have like a Galaxy S4 that I play with sometimes, and it's got a huge screen. That's awesome. That's like the best benefit of the phone compared to iPhone.
So I can see argue the only
being attracted for the
Sorry, that was a low blow. Nothing wrong with Android. It's just not as good as iOS. That's my only problem with it. But yeah, I mean, those Android phones, as we talked about last week, and Leander said he's got screen envy, or I think he said size envy.
Yeah.
More accurately.
Yeah,
and at first I wasn't sure what he was talking about, but then I figured out he was talking about Android phones.
Right. What else would it be?
I couldn't recall.
I'm from England. We have a reputation to uphold.
You guys definitely have a reputation. Okay. How about this? Moving on from iPhones, I'm sure much to the chagrin of the guy who just bought my iPad 3 on Craigslist the other day, Apple has retired the iPad 2 and has replaced it with the iPad 4. So now you can get an iPad 4 for, is it $400 or do they raise the price to $429?
$399.
It's still $399.
Yeah.
Okay. It's either $399 or just above $400. But in either case, the iPad 2 is no more, and they've replaced it, which is basically their base model, with the iPad 4, which had been discontinued. So now you can get a 16-gigabyte iPad 4 for $400, which is a great price. That was an excellent iPad. That's the one that I got for my mom, and she really loves it. So if you were on the fence, just know that my mom loves it, and hopefully that will sway you. But truly, I just sold my iPad 3 to a guy, and he's probably facepalming right now. I literally sold it to him the day before the Apple announced this.
Ah, nice.
And I mean, he got it for $320. So, and mine was a 32 gig model with the Verizon LTE radio. So he still got a deal. But you know, newer is always better. And lastly, as far as the iPad or the Apple rumors go, you may have heard that Apple was going to release an 8 gigabytes iPhone 5C. That has happened, but it's unfortunately not going to be available in the US. It's only going to be available in France, Germany, the UK, Australia, and Canada? Really? How interesting.
Canada.
In Canada. I wonder if they don't have as much prevalent 4G as us. Actually, I take that back. Australia has like one of the fastest mobile networks in the world. They're incredible.
Well, that's what they said. The 5C is supposed to be an option in markets where LTE is more established.
Oh, I misunderstood that. I thought they were releasing it in places where it wasn't quite established.
No, the opposite. Okay. Yeah.
So it's not coming to the US, but it is out in the wild now in Europe. Guys, before we move on to our final get to know your cultist questions, I wanted to talk about that new Haunted Empire book. Leander, I know we've talked about this several times. And apparently Tim Cook, I don't know if he read it.
There's no way. Well, I guess he could have, right? Because he probably had an early copy in the iTunes library.
Yeah, he probably has it on his iPad, y'all. And actually, I should probably back up and we should probably talk about what Haunted Empire is, because we've talked about it on past shows, but maybe people didn't hear it. Leander, would you fill us in, Haunted Empire, the book, what it's about?
Sure, yeah. It's a book about Apple after Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's written by Yukari Kane, who was a reporter for the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm.
And while she was reporting on Apple for the Journal, she had a couple of big scoops, including the fact that Jobs had a liver transplant. So she took leave a couple of years ago and wrote this book about Apple. And in the run-up to it, she was saying that she'd interviewed more than 200 people and had gone to China and then to Alabama and had really dug into Tim Cook's background and had a lot of deep reporting on Apple in the post-Steve Jobs era. But the book hasn't been really very well reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are very disappointed because they had such high hopes for this book. And
it has a great title. Haunted
it's a
Empire.
Great, great title, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
But, of course, Tim Cook yesterday. I mean, Apple never talks about, about books or even magazine articles or anything,
Yeah, they
really.
Never even so recognize them, right? They never give them any positive or negative press. They just simply remain silent about them.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. And so this one, Tim Cook came out and said that it was nonsense and that he didn't recognize anything about Apple or Steve or anybody else in the book at all. And of course, this caused a huge storm. In the press.
Well, let me read you what he said. He said, quote, "This nonsense belongs with some of the other books I've read about Apple. It fails to capture Apple, Steve, or anyone else in the company. Apple has over 85,000 employees that come to work each day to do their best work, to create the world's best products, to put their mark in the universe and leave it better than they found it. This has been the heart of Apple from day one and will remain at the heart of Apple for decades to come. I'm very confident about our future." And then she ended up, Yukari Kane was like, "Ooh, that seemed like it touched a nerve."
Yeah, yeah. She said if Tim wants to talk with her, she's open.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen. She's going to get an iMessage from Tim Cook, from TC.
I mean, do you think at all that it's maybe like the Apple press is a little bit like doesn't like the book because it's negative about Apple at all, Leander? Do you think that plays into it?
Well, of course, and you see this, right? So I was looking at the comments on a lot of the stories and on the reviews of her book on Amazon, and so now it's become polarized. So now it's like, if you're a fan of Apple, or if you like Apple at all, then you're obviously going to hate this book because it's giving you, you know, telling you something you don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so you're backed into a position. If you come down on the book, then immediately you've got to be on the defensive because you're like, oh no, I'm not just an Apple fanboy. You know, it's weird. The debate about the book has almost become, you know, has become this kind of religious debate about Apple and how you feel about it rather than about the merits of the book itself.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I mean, I know you, Carrie. I've met her a couple of times. I like her. I think she's obviously a great reporter. But to be honest, you know, I didn't like the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it because of the conclusion. I mean, you know, if it's true, it's a super important story and people really should hear it, especially Apple fans. But I really don't think that she managed to nail the conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I found her arguments really, really unconvincing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it comes down to the fact that, you know, Steve was amazing. And without Steve, they're screwed. And, you know, all of the different evidence that she cites in the book, you know, to point to Apple on the decline, absolutely none of them hold up to scrutiny.
Mm.
You know, things like complaining about, you know, the presentations and the fact that there's no magic. Okay, well, that's true, but, you know, it certainly hasn't hurt the sales of iPhones or iPads,
mm-hmm.
which are at record levels,
mm-hmm.
And so on and so forth. You know, and she spent some time in China, and those were the most interesting chapters, I think, the talk about Foxconn and Terry Gao. But, you know, I know a little bit about Terry Gao, and I didn't find them very convincing characterizations of him and his relationship. And I went through the book and I looked up all the stuff about Johnny Ive,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, there's something I know something about. And the very first couple of paragraphs about Johnny Ive talk about him being obsessed with the look and feel of the products,
mm-hmm.
and that design is really about how something looks and not how something works.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is the oldest cliche in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's lazy and it betrays like a very, very fundamental misunderstanding of the role of design in Apple. You know, it really doesn't get to the heart of what they're doing in the design studio at all. It misses the point completely. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, you know, and then, you know, and then all the other references of Johnny Ive throughout the book are exactly the same. You know, it talks about the tension between him and the engineers. And, you know, just sort of managed to contradict itself, you know, within a few paragraphs. It talks about how Steve Jobs spent all of his time with Johnny Ive in the design studio, and yet Ive was trying to connive his way into Jobs' favor because, you know, design was at a disadvantage in that company because it was all about how things looked. But that's not true. You know, the opposite is true. It's all design, the industrial design studio is where is the primary, you know, factory, the heart of the operation. That's exactly where the products get made. And the engineers work for the designers. They answer to the designers. You know, the designers are the ones who are working out how the thing works on a fundamental level. And the engineers are the ones who build it. So those characterizations to me were really, really, you know, they just, I'm like, you know, it's frustrating because it hadn't got to the heart of what Apple's about at all.
Well, you know, my biggest problem with the book, and I should just put out there that I haven't actually read it at all, but is that it's obviously not as good as Johnny Ive, the genius behind Apple's greatest products, which I believe was written by one Mr. L. Caney and was highly reviewed. In fact, some bloggers called it the finest Apple book they've ever read. So I just want to put that out there.
Thanks for bringing that up.
That's my main problem.
Yeah, you know, like that's why people think I have no credibility because, you know, I have an iron in the fire too.
Yeah, well, whenever you talk about this book, you should definitely always refer back to your own and shamelessly plug your own as often as possible.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not a zero-sum game, you know, and I really don't want to, you know, I would rather see some good books about Apple. I would rather see a lot of good books about Apple. I think it raises all the boats, you know, if they do well. So, you know, I don't have anything to gain by you, Carrie's
maybe a few sales demise. Here and there.
Maybe.
I have nothing to gain other than a few sales of my book, Johnny Ive, the genius. But, you know, all jokes aside, to your point, Leander, about how at Apple the engineers work for the designers, I just think that's an incredible statement because at most other companies, it's the exact opposite way it's the exact opposite, right? The engineers will create something, and the designers are charged with making it look good and maybe work good. Whereas at Apple, it's just amazing that they approach it from, how does this work? How are people going to interact with this? And then the engineers, it sounds like, are tasked with assisting them in making it work the way it should, and rather than the other way around.
Exactly. And this was you know, something that they battled, Johnny Ive, you know, and the design department at Apple for years before Steve came back. Mm-hmm. And this was exactly what Steve did. You know, he had this huge, profound change in the culture of the company. And it was a battle, a huge battle. And it took him years. And it was a steady and slow thing, you know, but the ascendancy of the design department becoming the primary sort of ideas factory of the company, you know, was cemented in the mid-2000s. And it's been true for years and years. I mean, this is why they could bring him out, you know, during the product presentations, to talk about the design story, how they figured out how to make these products. And this is exactly how they come up with these innovations. I mean, where do you think the iPhone and the iPad came from? Years of struggle in the design department, figuring out all these different technologies and working out how they can make new products with them.
Yeah, and figuring out the way it should work and making it work that way. And I remember the story about Johnny Ive wanting to add that green LED to was it like one of the MacBook Pro screens or something, and they had to figure out a whole manufacturing process, how to like machine the aluminum to let the light through. And that's one of those little features that if it was built by an engineer, you probably wouldn't see, because it just wasn't technically possible, and they wouldn't have thought to do something so drastic just for like a design aesthetic feature, essentially. And I mean, that's really what makes Apple such a unique company and so hard to emulate. I mean, look how many companies are spending billions of dollars trying to copy them, literally.
Right. And this is why they don't want to talk about it, because it's their biggest, it is their most important, their most fundamental industrial secret.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
mean how the design studio works.
Yeah. And how and how it works in conjunction with engineering and with manufacturing and with operations and all the other different departments of the company. Because, you know, if Samsung could copy that, then they would. You know, Samsung's like always playing catch up. They look at the device when it comes out and tries to, and you know, I guess they have a bit more intelligence. They can probably work out, you know, they have a lot of expertise in how things are made too. Mm-hmm. But you know, I think what competitors really need to know is how the company works, how its processes work. And if you could copy that, then you could recreate Apple the company.
Yeah.
And I think that's far more important, because, you know, Samsung's like, look at the Galaxy Gear watch. I mean, they have a huge problem. They might sell millions and millions of phones, but they cannot invent new products. They can't invent new categories of products.
Right.
They have absolutely no expertise in doing that. They're a fast follower.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when they try to create new products, they end up with the Galaxy Gear Watch.
Yeah, right.
Right. Exactly. Look at that thing.
Yep. You know, and it's a huge, huge, huge problem.
Well, you guys, I would love to keep talking about this, but we should probably wrap up the show. And we have two get to know your cultist questions. So let's go ahead and wrap up with these. These ones are fun. The first one's from Dan Miller, who, by the way, gave us these questions on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecultcast, if you want to suggest one of these questions or a topic you want us to talk about on the show, or maybe just want to comment on something that we've talked about on the show, head on over to Facebook. Dan Miller says, working for an Apple blog, do other family members feel more obliged to buy Apple gear? Leander, I'm going to go to you with this question. I told them that any caney with a Windows phone is no caney at all.
Right. I know the children, they're out there in the cold, shivering with their, trying to keep warm from the glow of their Nokias and their Androids. That I mean, people come to me and they go, "Oh, you get free stuff. You know, can you get me a new iMac? You know, can you get me a new MacBook? Doesn't Apple send you this stuff?" I'm like, no, they don't send us anything.
Yeah, they don't.
So yeah, you know, and then of course if they do get something, then I become the IT guy, the unpaid IT guy. Thanks. That's awesome.
That's hilarious. That's actually why a lot of my friends and all my family have finally switched over to Mac, because I'm the family IT guy.
Yeah.
And I ceased my Windows support. You know, I was like, if you get a Windows machine, I'm not going to help you fix it. It takes too much time. Yeah, I just stopped.
You put the hammer down.
Yeah,
huh?
Especially because my cousins and stuff, I mean, they were constantly mucking up their Windows machines, and they would install these stupid like browser bars and spyware and all this stuff that you really don't have a problem with on a Mac. And then they would bring their computers to a freaking screeching halt, and that's when I would be brought in to fix it, and it would take me 10 hours because the computer was so slow that you couldn't do anything on it. So finally, I just kept talking about how much I love Apple stuff and Mac stuff, and authentically, I do, obviously. So they eventually all switched over, and well, actually, except for my dad, he's still on a Windows PC. But that's fine. He handles his own problems. But, yeah, so now my family is all on Mac stuff. Buster, I would imagine yours is too.
Mine don't have, they have like a PC and like some Windows laptops, but my mom has an iPad. They all have iPhones. I feel like, yeah, the tech support thing happens a lot. Like I'll get cousins calling me out of nowhere for like, for help with their MacBook. Like I haven't heard from them in years. Or it's just more like, a lot of people, like family members will want to talk about Apple all the time. And that's usually like the last thing I want to talk about, you know, like, I remember my dad would always complain about people wanting to talk to him about like the stock market after he'd get done with work. And now, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I hate talking about Apple.
Is your dad a stockbroker?
Yeah, for a while. Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow. Didn't know that. Yeah. So, okay, let's move on. Next question. Jack. Oh, my gosh. Okay, here we go. Jack Weinskillbaum. Jack, I apologize. I hope I got that right. Weinskillbaum. Yeah, my tongue just got stronger. I should practice that. This is a great question. Jack says, what's your favorite cult, get it? Elbow, elbow. Cult movie. So I kind of know mine right off the top of my head.
What is it?
I'm going to go with Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's do the time warp again.
Oh no, really? That's one of my least favorite.
What? I would have thought you would have loved that movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh my gosh. What's the main guy? What's the main transvestite name, Leander? What's his name?
Yeah, the actor's Tim Curry, right?
It's the actor. It's what Tim Curry plays. That movie is so great, and I love musicals, so the first time I saw that movie, I was like, I hate this wretched movie. It's the worst movie. It's the stupidest movie I've
That's
ever
where I
seen.
Stopped, yeah.
But then, you know, when Meatloaf comes out with his motorcycle and they all start dancing, I really started to kind of like it. So, and of course, there's people all over the world that will put that movie on and then reenact it live on stage.
Yeah. So do you dress up in fishnets now and go watch it at a movie theater with a bunch of other people?
Choose your words carefully.
Another word is going to come out there.
If you're implying that I like to dress as a transvestite, yes. Do I go see the movie? No, it's just the attire I prefer to wear around Seattle. But yes, you might see me in fishnet stockings and lipstick and perhaps a bustier.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I think it's they do that. They have it regularly at the Castro Theater here in San Francisco.
Oh, I bet they do. I bet they do. And I bet you've gone and seen it a couple of times.
No, hey, like you said, it's a wretched movie and it's insufferable.
Okay, here we go. Here's going to be Leander. It's going to be some British movie that no one's ever heard of.
Well, you know, cult movies, you know, because I was going to say The Lady Killers, which is a British comedy from the late 40s, which is, you know, Alec Guinness.
Wasn't that with Tom Hanks?
No, they remade it. And of all people, the Coen brothers, and they completely ruined it.
The one with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
I liked that movie. God.
No, wretched. Talk about wretched, wretched, wretched.
There's a Coen brothers movie, right?
Yeah. I got to admit, I didn't see the whole thing. I just saw some of it. enough to think, oh, my God, it ruined one of my favorite movies. But I can't really call it a cult movie. Like, a cult movie, I think, is like a B movie.
Yeah.
Maybe like, I don't know. The one that popped into my head is The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Wait a second. Is that the one with the clown?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. I was like, that movie has the worst ending of any movie I've ever seen.
Pennywise.
Pennywise. No.
Isn't that the name of the clown in It?
Oh, you might be right. It's been years since I've seen.
I've
that
never
movie.
Seen it. Olin, my son, keeps talking about it. He's watched most of it on YouTube in 10-minute increments, and so you
know, that movie. Okay, hold on. Not your movie, but It. The premise of that movie is absolutely wonderful, and then you get to the end and it's like sitting on a whoopee cushion. It deflates so badly and you're like, wait, you got to be kidding me. This is how they're going to end the movie, and it turned into one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
What's the ending?
I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Spoiler alert.
Come on, it's been out since the 90s.
Okay, spoiler alert. Okay, this is where you want to stop, fast forward if you don't want to hear the ending of this movie. So this clown, the premise of this movie is these kids, you know, grow up, and they're adults now, and they're thinking about this story from when they were kids, and there is like this monster that was that lived in the sewers, and he was dressed as a clown, like this really scary clown. In fact, wasn't this Tim Curry that played the clown?
Don't know.
I don't remember. I think it was. In my mind, it is. But this clown would show up in these sewers, and then the kids would disappear. And then as adults, they're like talking about how they remembered this happening, but they thought it was like a fairy tale or something. And then they work up the bravery to like go into this to figure out where this clown is. And then they figure out that he's in like this cavern underground, and they go in, and it turned out the clown was a giant spider, and he was luring kids in there to have lunch. You know, and they were his lunch. And I was like, this is the stupidest ending. Like, it's such a cop-out. Really? This great clown living in the sewer and he's stealing kids and you don't know why. And he turns into a spider. Absolutely ridiculous. So.
Well, is that how it ends up in the book? Because it's a Stephen King novel, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I never read the book.
And you're right. I just looked it up on Wikipedia. It was Tim Curry. Wow.
It was Tim Curry. Wow. All the best movies have Tim Curry in it. Anyway, Leander, what's your pick?
Well, The Thing. So okay. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen it.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
I don't even know. What's the premise of it?
This Antarctic research station becomes infected with this alien that can take on any form. And it starts killing off all the
This was remade recently.
Yeah, and that was wretched. Awful, dreadful, rubbish, horrible, stinker.
I don't think I've seen the original, but I heard it was really good.
Yeah, the original's awesome. Yeah, it's a great, great B-movie. Awesome B-movie. Very atmospheric. Super, super scary. And it's like, you know, it's, I think, did it come out before Alien? Same kind of premise, you know, like the crew get off, killed off one by one. But this one's really paranoid and no one knows what's going on. It's really atmospheric. It's a great, great movie.
Oh, man, Alien... One of my favorite movies of all time.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you can't really, can you call that a cult movie? Because it's really a mainstream movie.
I don't know if I could call it. Yeah, I would feel like Alien's mainstream because people actually liked it, whereas a lot of people really hate.
Donnie Darko is a great cult movie.
Okay, that's actually a very legitimate pick right there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen that in a long time either, but that was a great movie as well. Buster, what do you got? Buster. Buster, you're
sorry,
on mute.
I'm muted.
Yeah.
Evil Dead 2 is what I would go with.
Oh.
Oh, the second one? Really?
Yeah, yeah. The first one with the tree raping scene wasn't my jam.
Really? That was my favorite part of the movie.
I don't know. It's like, I love that slapstick horror and just like the tons of like the ridiculous blood. It's just, it's a silly movie, you know, and kind of scary.
I think one of those movies, I'm not sure if it was the first, the second one traumatized me as
the
when I
first
was a kid.
One is just like kind of weird and scary, but yeah, the second one's more just like
just kind of
morbid and funny. Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, there you have it. Our favorite cult movies. Thanks to Jack Weinskelbaum for that question. Guys, we need to wrap it up there. We are way out of time. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. Hey, you know what? If you want to hang out with us on Twitter, we would love that. Buster's BST3R, Leander's L. Caney. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. Of course, all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple. Make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the cult cast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We hope that we're going to see you in San Francisco, and we'll see you guys. Buster, you want to stay with me? Next time. What the heck was that?
That was a bit complicated.
That was terrible. I was trying to make it awkward.
Oh, yeah. Well, you succeeded. Well done.
What's up, sweet mama?
Hey!
How are you doing?
Oh, sexiness level just increased tenfold. What's happening?
There's this dog hanging around my apartment. I was trying to catch it, but...
Yeah, good luck with that.
It didn't want to be got.
Yeah, I saw those testes on that dog, man. You can't challenge that thing. Oh, no. Those are the kind of testes the vet charges you extra for removal.
Yeah.
But seriously, you need to have those testes. You need to submit those to the Guinness Book, man. Take a picture of those things with a huge caption that said, not Photoshopped.
I think he's got a lot of built-up sexual frustration, too. You
know? Yeah.
He's always humping his pillow.
And by pillow, I mean me when I'm on my bed asleep.
Yeah, in the night. And I wake up to just slobber all over my leg.
Oh, gosh.